noticed that I was laughing during the first song. I think the booth was laughing too. I don't know if they noticed the precise moment that I realized what was wrong, but if you saw me break out in a funny smile and almost laugh through my singing, it was because I was trying to hear things. I was turning up my volume on my belt pack, and I didn't have my buds in my ears. I just one of those simple, silly things that that happens. And I just thought if you noticed me laughing kind of at an inappropriate time, that's what it was all about. But I'm thankful for the Lord's help and for the joy of those things. You know, I think life needs to be filled with joy. And I get it that sometimes life is full of really hard challenges. I have some close friends who lost a nephew this week, and the story that goes behind that had been very, very difficult for him. So I know that they're facing some very difficult things. I know others of you, of course, have lost loved ones in recent times, and that's hard. It's hard to make adjustment, and it's hard to manage the steps of just taking care of details, for one thing. I mean, there's this avalanche of detail that takes place in the midst of grief, and I'm not sure that's helpful for our grieving process. I mean, it has to be done, and those are very challenging things. But somewhere, somehow, even in the midst of all of those things, we are given the privilege of having joy. And I think the only way that we really live in that joy or find that joy is in the process of remembering Jesus. And today I'm going to be talking about remembering some of the promises of God. And really, I'll only be talking about two. But leading up to that, I want to just share for a few minutes about some things that relate to information you've received recently. In my newsletter and also in our January Open Shepherds meeting, shared with the church a plan for my retirement. I know I don't look like I'm almost 68, but I am. And, you know, this baby face that barely grows a beard, I get it. But as we think about life and those experiences, it happens for everybody. And so I begin to discuss that. I begin to talk about a plan for retirement. And hopefully it's good news for folks that at least I'll be here through the end of this year. Officially, we've kind of set a date for December 31st for my retirement. And as a result of that, that puts the church in a different kind of way of thinking about the transition into the next thing. I think always the church is in transition, whether a pastor is present for 40 or 50 years, or whether he's present for 10 years, or whether, no matter what. You know, there was a time it seemed that the average was that churches were changing pastors every 2 years. In my early ministry, that was kind of one of the statistics that was out there. It really never made a whole lot of sense to me. But I know, and I think we all know in church life, that the leadership and the pastoral leadership does change from time to time. And so that is one of those challenges. In our shepherd meeting this last Tuesday, we had some significant discussion about that, and it is evident to us for a lot of reasons. I've had a number of conversations with some of our people, some who are much younger in their faith, much younger in their understanding of the mechanics of church life along the way and that type of thing, who have I've had conversations with, and they've been very affirming conversations for me personally. They've been encouraging and demonstration of love and and desire for the relationship that we share, as I have the privilege of being your pastor. And yet, one of the more mature shepherds and experienced people who has been a part of church life for a lifetime brought out the reality that there are some and who just don't know what this is, what this means, what this is supposed to look like. And so we kind of agreed that I should take a little bit of time to give some explanation of what things might look like over the coming year. I think the first thing I want us always to remember is that the church needs to continue to be the church no matter what. We hope and pray that we will continue to reach new people with the gospel and that people will be baptized and begin their process of growing up into Christ. We pray that that will be true no matter what's going on around in the other matters of church life and business. We hope and pray that people will be loving one another and expressing that love for one another and ministering to each other along the way. I don't think that is going to be a part of the struggle for us ever. I think you all are attentive to one another's needs and love each other, and you grow in that love for one another along the way. But I think there are some other things that will be taking place over this coming year that you kind of just need to know about. And so I'm not going to say that you should write these things down as a stepwise order of things, because I don't presume that it will be all up to me. But I want you to know some of the things that need to happen and will happen. Okay, so. Before even I read the scripture that I'll use in my preaching moments this morning, I want to just kind of share these ideas. And in the process of getting started, and of course we have a significant period of time, I think there's some benefit to knowing that my leadership will be present for at least the course of the coming year. And there are some details that we're not going to have to worry about, at least I pray. And that some of that ongoing ministry will take place. And I think I said in my notes to you in the newsletter article that for as far as my part, I will continue to give you the very best that I know how. And maybe if I can even improve that, it'll be good for us all. And so we'll continue to walk with the Lord in regard to that and in regard to that ministry. But otherwise, as we think about the transition, we want to be very much in prayer. We want to be in prayer for the process that will take place. And before I even begin to preach, I'm going to pray for that. But we want to be in prayer for the team that will be developed. We want to do a search for the next pastor of North Addison Baptist Church, and all of those kinds of things will take place. But we will need to develop a pastor search team. Part of that process will be that we as shepherds will invite you to make some nominations, to suggest some people that can be considered for the pastor search team, and then in receiving those, we will work to develop a team that can be balanced in regard to age, in regard to need, in regard to the variety of people that we have in the life of our church, men and women, and younger and older, and we seek and we pray that you will be willing and eager to be involved in whatever level the Lord allows you to be a part of this process. And so the responsibilities of that pastor search team are going to be many in some ways, but their primary responsibility is to begin the process of searching out and discovering the next man who will be your pastor beyond this coming year. And we will ask them to work with a certain measure of accountability, a certain measure of confidentiality. So how do you balance confidentiality and accountability? Because the church will want to have some regular reports. It's funny, I was in a conversation with my brother on the phone, and he said that he had gotten an email from a particular church in the area where he serves, and he says, "We have good news." And so it was like, okay, have they found somebody they're going to present to the church? He had to laugh when they said, "We have a job description." So sometimes the process may seem to take a whole lot longer than it ought to in some ways, but understand that when a pastor search team is put together, there is a number of preliminary detail things that they're going to have to take place. And so it's just a part of that. And confidentiality will be important when they begin to zero in on individuals that may be considered as the next pastor, because he will be serving likely somewhere else, and it would not be appropriate for word to get out that he's considering leaving his church. It's not our place to reveal that to people in his church. Whether we would even know anybody or not, that's irrelevant, but it's not our place to reveal that to someone. But at the proper time, that person will be introduced to this body for your consideration, because their work and their search is over when the church votes, unless, of course, the person chooses not to come as a result, or if you choose to not elect and call that person to be your next pastor. This can be a time-consuming experience. And so there's some blessing in knowing now and having a period of time of searching. I will tell you that much of what is true today in the search for pastors is that it's difficult. It's difficult to find the person. It's difficult to persuade them sometimes. But really, you see, it's all about understanding God's will in this whole process. And so and I'll just, as word of testimony, reveal that there was, but that before I came to North Addison, there came a point in my ministry at Capital Baptist in Salem, Oregon, where I sensed the Lord's leadership to begin considering that I should not be staying there for a longer period of time. And let me say that started about 2 years before you and I began to talk with one another. And who knows the reasons, but the Lord prepares our hearts, and we serve and we walk with him, and we serve the people that he's placed us with, and we love the people. I have never come away from another ministry experience where I didn't do it with a measure of grief, because I love the people that I served, and I love you. I want you to always remember that, and we'll continue to walk with you in whatever way that the Lord allows us to walk together in the years to come. But that process is going to take some time. And, you know, it's not like next week we're going to see this person, that a search team is going to see that guy and say, "Okay, you're coming, right?" and all of that. It will take some time. It'll take some investigation, study of the person, and his history and his ministry experience. And in some cases, it may be that this church would call a man who is very young. And I think that could be one of the most exciting things that could ever happen for North Addison Baptist Church. And yet, those who are mature and experienced and insightful and filled with wisdom will need to patiently walk with that young man into the years ahead, as he may even be discovering what this whole work is all about. But he has a real call from God, and the church knows that he is to be their next pastor. There can be a variety of things. You know, the old joke is that we want him to have 40 years of experience and not be encumbered with all kinds of other things, but we want him to be a family man, and we want him to be about 30 years old. And, you know, 30 years old with 40 years experience, you're not going to find that. But it's kind of a fun thought to have, because honestly, that's much what the church would love to find, somebody with that kind. But the truth is, if we find someone with youth, with great wisdom, we will be deeply blessed in the future of North Addison Baptist Church. And so I think that's going to be very helpful. So I don't need to share a whole lot of other detail about those things, but I want you to understand this is a time-consuming process. Our habit is that we will develop this search team, and the search team will have the approval of the church to move forward in seeking out the next man who will be the pastor of North Addison Baptist Church. And so... I don't think I need to share a lot of other detail. But if you have questions along the way, I pray that you will indeed ask them. Don't be terribly alarmed. Just ask questions. We appreciate that. And you don't have to ask me. You can ask some of our other seasoned veterans of service in the life of this church. Some who have been a part of pastor search teams here before, others who are just available and have the experience of walking through that time. Several of our shepherds are like that, are in that category. I'm going to just name that it would be good for you to feel free to talk to Robert, feel free to talk to Mark, feel free to talk to our brother John Hobson. These are men who have had the experience of moving through this at a variety of times. And in fact, brother Jack would also be of good quality to ask questions of him. And some of our younger shepherds are in that category of having never been through this before. So pray particularly for them as they walk with the other more seasoned along the way. But in the process of that, we need to remember God's promises. And I want to just share with you a couple of moments about what we need to do and a couple of those promises that I think are so important for us to remember. And so I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. And you might find it helpful to use your Bibles in this message, especially in this first passage. Sometimes the booth is ahead of me and knows that I'm going to use more verses than I gave them. but I think in this particular case, they may not have. And so I'm going to begin in Isaiah chapter 43, and I gave them verse 2, but I'm going to use, and I'm going to read to you on through verse 5. So at least it's not a long passage, but your Bibles will help. You can find it there. And so, in fact, I'm going to start in verse 1. Okay. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Now this is what the Lord says. The one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom for you, Cush and Seba in your place. Because you are precious in my sight, and honored. And I love you. I will give people in exchange for you and nations instead of your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I promised you I was going to pray. Let's pray. Our Father, today as we spend these moments together, we come and we give our thanks and deep gratitude to you, for you indeed have always been the God who always is with us. And Father, you have given us these wondrous promises that are so faithful throughout all of the years of your dealing with your people. And Father, we thank you that because of Jesus, we are able ourselves to be called your own. And so, Lord, as we think about in the life of the church, the struggles that come and the anxieties that become present and the difficulties that we face when times of transition come, our Father, we thank you that you have given us these promises, that you are with us, that you will help us, that you will provide for us, and that you will meet our need. Father, you have demonstrated your love for this church for several generations now, since 1962. And Father, you have proven your love over and over through the blessing and the presence of people who have walked with you and have sought to know you and have sought to lead according to your guidance and promises along the way. And Father, we pray that there will be many generations to come. Though we find times of weakness, though we find times of sickness, though we discover that we are not all that we ought to be at times in the work of the ministry, Lord God, you have never failed, and you will always, always, always be enough. Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We thank you for these good promises. Lord, we pray for this year, this coming time, this future of gathering together, of serving you, of reaching out that others might know you, of knowing your love and your presence and your power. We pray for this year as we gather together a team that will be faithful in the search for the next pastor of North Addison Baptist Church. And Lord, we ask that you might give a peace and calm about the whole process in a way that can allow us together to always bring glory to your holy name and always keep our eye on the purpose to which you've called us together, Lord Jesus. May we together trust in you. And Lord, now we ask that you'll guide us in these moments as we consider these scriptures, these things that you've set before us. Thank you for your wondrous promises to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I look at this first verse and hesitated, but really needed to include it because I think partly because the Lord said something to me this morning as I was coming. I was on my way here, I guess, and I heard a song that I'd never heard before. Julie was in the car with me, but we were just kind of quiet and coming along, and I heard the words to a song that I'd never heard before. And the words were that I should have written them down, but they spoke about the fact that we are the redeemed, that because we are redeemed, that the noise and the singing and the praise and the worship of the redeemed needs to be the loudest noise on earth. Do we get that? That's another sermon, but I just think about this. Because we are redeemed, what do you have that is worth more than the thing that Jesus has done for you and has brought you out of darkness and into the wondrous light of life that is ours because of Jesus. We don't have anything that's that great. I mean, we try to recreate stuff like that. You know, we even go as far as having a Super Bowl. And there were a lot of people that were yelling on that day. Some were yelling nice things and some were yelling not so nice things. But the reality is this, none of anything that's in the world today is worth the shouts that ought to be given from the redeemed of the Lord. That's why the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the end of this verse, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. What a precious reminder verse for all of us as we think about today and as we think about the future. But these next promises are where I want us to begin and move forward. These next promises are so important for us because I think we need to hear what verse 2 starts out with. The promise of God, the first promise we're going to talk about is His promise, I will be with you. I will be with you. Is there anybody you want to be without? I think if we have meaningful relationships in our life, there's probably not anybody that we really would want to be without. But the truth of the matter is, I would be absolutely desperate if I knew that I was without the presence and the help of God. The Father who created me, who has loved me, who has sent His Son to die for me, that I might be forgiven of my sin and have the promise of everlasting life, because indeed He rose from the grave and He won the victory. You see, by the way, that was just one sentence that is the whole gospel. All right? It's all there. God loved us. He sent His Son. His Son died for us. His Son rose again and has won the victory over sin and over death. And this is the God who has promised to be with you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we receive His gift of life. We receive the presence of His Holy Spirit, and He has promised to be with you. He has promised to never forsake you. He has promised. But look at what that means. If God is with you, if God is with you, nothing will harm you. Do you see that? Do you see that? When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. I will be with you, He says, and nothing will harm you. Nothing. Nothing. Come on, Pastor. Don't you know I've had hard things? Don't you know that my heart has been broken? Don't you know that sometimes people at work just don't appreciate me? Don't you know that even my boss has said that my job's going to go away? Don't you understand that things are hard? Yeah. But the promise of God is that even in the midst of all of that difficulty, you will not ultimately be harmed. Yes, things will be difficult. If you read the story of Job, things were horrible for him. He went into deep times of groaning and sorrow and depression. But even so, he said, God is praised. He is with me. He gives, He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is faithful. God is faithful. He says, I will be with you. In verse 3, he goes on and says, oh, by the way, don't forget, I am the Lord your God. You know, He's the one, He's the only one who's able to say that. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel and your Savior. And then in verse 4, he goes on and reminds us that we are precious to him. He said, "You, because you are precious in my sight and honored, I love you. And I will give people in exchange for you and nations instead of your life." You see, God loves you that much. If you belong to him, he loves you so much that he, according to this promise, would give up masses of others because of his love for you. Does that mean he does not love them? That's not what it means. For I believe when he said God so loved the whole world, that God loved the world that he gave his only son, that Jesus is for anyone who will put their trust and their faith in him. And as God calls people, they do that and they receive him and they receive redemption and they are bought back from their sinfulness and their worldliness. And they become a part of the redeemed, a part of those that are precious in the sight of God. But you see, he loves you so much. Who is precious in your sight? Who is precious in your life? I believe that oftentimes our children become very precious to us. And I can tell you that my grandchildren also are quite precious to me. I haven't got any great-grandchildren yet, and I'm not in a hurry, please. Please, please. But God is so good and so faithful, and he has given us relationships with individuals here in this world that we understand preciousness. We understand what it means when God says, "You are precious in my sight, and you are honored, and I love you. I love you." This is the part of the promise of God when he says, "I will be with you because you are precious to me." And in verse 5, he says, "Do not fear." You know, God just wants us to remember. There's nothing to be afraid of. "Do not fear, for I am with you again." And that's the first, that's the whole point that I'm preaching. I will be with you. You need to remember that God said, "I will be with you." There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing will harm you. He is the Lord our God, and we are precious to him. "I am with you," our Heavenly Father tells us. What a sweet and wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise for you and for me today. We need not run off into fear. I'm going to invite you now to turn back to the book of James. And here in the book of James, the first chapter, we find also another promise to remember from the Lord. In James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and then also in verse 17. "Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways." I know, I read 7 and 8 also. And then in verse 17, the scripture here tells us, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So, what is the second thing that we need to remember? The second thing that God has called us to remember in this is, "I will help you," he says. He says that "I will help you." You look at verse 5 and you see, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, just come and ask." All right? That sounds like a pretty good promise, doesn't it? If any of you lacks wisdom, just come and ask. Let him ask, and he will give to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given. I just think that is a wonderful part of the promises of God, because I know that sometimes we move through periods of life where we just have no clue what to do next. We have no idea what our lives ought to be in terms of the next steps of life. And in our personal lives, if that is true, then we need to remember that there is no one of us, or not even a multiple group of heads in this world, or excuse me, in this room or in the life of this church, who can answer all of the questions. And there will be times when you may have the great wisdom of people who have walked with God for 60 and 70 years, that you will maybe have the great wisdom of people who have walked in the presence of God and with other Christians for many, many years and through many difficult experiences. And there will not be the right piece of wisdom that is needed for that moment. It can happen. So what do we do? We must not just press forward because, well, we tried this once, or this seemed to help at another time, or I know that this will work. No, that is not the wisdom we want. We want the wisdom from God. And my friends, we need to remember that wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. And there will be times, perhaps even in this coming year, when we will be struggling. You may need to recognize that the pastor search team that is developed is going to face some very difficult things, some very difficult challenges. And they're going to be scratching their heads, and they're going to be talking, and who knows, they might even have a mild argument or two. But they're going to have time when they need desperately to be touched by the wisdom of God. And that's just necessity. That's just necessity. In this last pastor search time, I'm only going to share this because I think it's so true. There were a couple of people other than myself that would have been certainly highly qualified and fit to be the pastor of North Addison Baptist Church during this period of time. And maybe even one or two that were suitable and available and ready and desiring even for the privilege of that. And because of that, there was a great need for the pastor search team to move to a more specific and serious time of prayer, just to ask the Lord for wisdom. For out of the hearts and the minds of just the people who were gathered, some would have said, I think this is the way, and others would have said, I think this is the way. And it may have been that a great majority would have said, this other person. But the Lord said something different. And while I don't really understand that, I know that the Lord will reveal his purpose and his promise and his plan according to his will. And that is how the Lord does his work. And there are times we just need to cry out for the wisdom of God. We need to cry out for that which he and he alone can reveal to the people. If you remember in the book of, I guess it had to be early in Acts. Could have been toward the end of one of the Gospels. But I think it was early in Acts when Judas had been one of the 12, and he had, as the old King James says, fallen headlong into a field, and basically had taken his own life and hung himself. We, because of his betrayal of Christ. The disciples had this number, 12, that they thought needed to be fulfilled. And early in the church, as the disciples were meeting together, of course there were a number of others who had walked along with the 12, along with Jesus, along the path, and had been developed and had spent time with Jesus, and they knew that the next person needed to have spent some kind of time with Jesus. And so they had a couple of guys that were presented, and they selected a man named Matthias, or Matthias. And Matthias was one who was considered a very fine man, a good leader perhaps among the people. And so the disciples assigned him the role of the 12th apostle. But did you ever hear anything about Matthias after that? You really don't. But what do we hear about? The Lord had another plan. He met a wicked Pharisee on the road to Damascus. And he shined his light upon Saul and called him out of horrible darkness. He blinded him so that he could see that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the living one, rather than the one whom Paul had determined that he would hate and hate all of his followers. Saul, blinded by Christ, came to faith, and Christ used him in ways in your life and in mine that we have to be so grateful. Oh, the wisdom of God in the selection of the man who would write significant portions of the New Testament that we might have clarity for living the Christian life, for walking together in the body of Christ. You look at all of the writings of the Apostle Paul, and you recognize that there's so much there for every one of us. Not to that we should ignore the writings of other apostles. I mean, thank God for the books of Peter and for the books of John and the book of the Revelation. My friends, we have the gift of evidence of God's wisdom overall, proving that his wisdom is greater than the wisdom of man. And where does his wisdom come from? His plan, his purpose, his promises, his revelation to us. And he has said, I will help you. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. But let them ask God without doubting. Ask in faith. The doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, I understand that when the storms of life are surging, I know some of you really love the ocean. I love the ocean. I do. I love the mountains a little bit more, so I prefer to go there. But I love the ocean. And when you go to the ocean and you see on a stormy day the surges and the swells that come and beat against the shore, that come upon and the coming in and the going out of the tides, and then really the storms that happen. How can you imagine that we live our lives based upon what we see on the sea? Right? If I were to live my life and make my decisions based on what I can see on the sea, then I would be constantly going back and forth, back and forth. One time I had an opportunity to go out for a deep sea fishing day. And, you know, the waves going out were pretty incredible, pretty amazing. And some of the guys got sick even before we got out to start fishing. But, you know, I wouldn't have known when to go or when to stop. I wouldn't have had a clue. I mean, I've been on water before, but haven't been responsible for what it means to be on water in the ocean. And the waves of the sea are so incredibly powerful and unpredictable. How do you predict? By experience. But, you know, if you're just out there, you really don't know what's coming next. And my friends, we do not want to be like the ones that are drawn away, that are stirred up by the troubles of not being able to predict what the sea will do. And therefore, we want to be people who walk in faith and trust in the wisdom of Christ. Trust in the wisdom of God. Know that He is good. And then in verse 17 of James chapter 1, it tells us again that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I think one of the things that I love to think about the light of Christ is that it's so bright there will be no shadows. It's just impossible. I love in the summertime when the shadows are long and I just look really tall out there, you know. It's just kind of a cool experience. But you know, shadows change, and sometimes with the light, shadows change. In the nighttime, as you move along the way, sometimes I'll see a flicker of light that goes in my house, and it's like, where'd that come from? Well, it was because there's a window over there, and somebody drove by, and the car lights did something strange, and they reflected off something, and it was really strange. But if you're out and about and you depend upon the shadows to reveal anything to you, you're going to be deceived. And my friends, we need to always remember that all of that which is good comes from God. All of that which is good comes from God. And it comes from the Father of lights, who does not change. I just think there's two promises there that we add to that. He said, I will help you, because I only give you good things, but I will help you because I will never change. I will always be the same. The name on the pastor's study might change. The name on the names on the list of those who serve as shepherds and leaders and deacons and teachers and servants of every kind, working in the kitchen, working in the yard, working in every portion of the life of the body of Christ, going out and visiting and caring for one another. Those names will always change. In 10 years, it is fearful to me how many of the names have changed at North Addison Baptist Church. But God never changes. He is always the same. So don't forget that promise. Remember, He said, I will be with you, and I will help you, and I will never change. What wonderful promises we have from our God. Please commit yourselves to prayer over this time. Please remember that there are only good things ahead as long as we depend upon and keep our eyes on Jesus and walk with God. Trust Him and know that He will be faithful. He keeps His promises even when we can't, or perhaps we simply fail. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these moments together. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and let it speak to us according to some of the challenges that we face together in the body of Christ together. Lord, we know that you are good and that you will never fail. And I give thanks to you that you are the one who is in front. And Lord, may it be that we will always be walking in repentance so that our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, who is indeed the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. And that in keeping our eyes on Jesus, you will always be in front. And only that which is behind is a life of destruction, a life of sinfulness. But Lord Jesus, you are the one that we follow. Lord, help us in that. Help us to rejoice. Help us to walk gladly through these years, these days, these weeks, these months, and the years that are ahead, O Lord. that you be glorified through the lives of the people of North Addison Baptist Church, and that many come to know Jesus as Savior. May we make truly the difference that this community needs and that this city needs for the years to come. We praise you, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with me? Together we will sing an old hymn, "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought," as we sing together, "Trust the Lord." It may be that there is a decision that you need to make, perhaps even make it in a public way, revealing the desires of your heart. Whatever it is that you would like to do in this moment, perhaps you need to put your trust and your faith in Jesus for the very first time. And we would invite that, and we would love to help you to take your next steps as you walk with Christ. Let's sing together.